Welcome back to Spilling the Tea. The next three episodes are a little different to our normal hormone chats, and yet they could possibly be three of the most important episodes I will ever record. When I say cancer, I'm sure we all immediately think of someone we know who has been impacted. In August 2022, my mum, Roisin, was diagnosed with breast cancer. The next 10 months of her life, she underwent treatment which consisted of a mastectomy, chemotherapy, and radiotherapy. The next three episodes are her story. My mum wanted to share her journey in the effort to give someone else hope who finds himself in a similar situation. So whether you're facing a difficult road ahead, you want to understand how to support a friend or family member going through cancer, or you just want some more insight into what people go through, I really hope these episodes help and inspire you, and most importantly, gives you hope for the future. Thank you so much, Mum, for having courage and sharing your experience with the world. I love you so much. I'm so excited that we have another Irish brand sponsoring this week's podcast. Ground is 100% natural, handmade in Ireland, vegan products. And the reason why I actually reached out to Ground and asked them to sponsor this episode is that they so kindly sent my mum out a gorgeous gift set when she was going through chemotherapy. The gift set was actually called the Baroque Collection, and it's actually specifically designed for people who were going through chemotherapy, and it's gorgeous. Different things like essential oils, there's foot and hand moisturizers, there's scalp rub. And I know that she really, really loved it, and it was such a lovely little kind of pampering thing for her when she was going through treatment. So always love supporting Irish brand. Their products are absolutely fab, especially if you were hoping to maybe give someone a gift of something, or if you're going to treatment yourself and you just want to treat yourself and have a little bit of natural luxury. They kindly gifted me a discount code, which is AOK15. And it's 15% off their order. It's one use per customer, and you will see the link below. Thank you so much to Ground for sponsoring this week's podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Spilling the Tea. I have my mum, Roisin O'Kelly, on again this week. If you missed last week, she shared her first story or first episode all about her experience with breast cancer. The first episode we kind of covered getting the diagnosis, basically coping with everything around that time. And we also chatted through her mastectomy and just kind of the tips and tricks, I don't even know if you call them tips and tricks, but basically things that she found really helped her along the way. This week, we will be chatting about chemotherapy. So yeah, Mum, welcome back. How do you feel after doing your first ever podcast?
Well, I'm not as nervous this morning, Aisling.
Yeah, you were dying. So like I said to her last time, I was like, the minute you finish, you'll be dying to do the next one. And literally like at the end, she was like, Dan, when can we book in again? So it's only like 4 days later and you're back in the studio. Is there anything from last time that you feel like we didn't cover, thinking back on it?
I didn't really talk about lymphedema as much as I should have, because that's really important, because you're going into the rest of your life with this big swollen arm.
So what's lymphedema, in case
lymphedema
people don't know?
Is swelling of the arm, especially if you've had lymph nodes removed. So I had 3 positive lymph nodes, Aisling, and they took away 11. So that means the natural drainage in my arm isn't there anymore. So I have to be very careful about infections on that side. I don't get bloods taken on that side or a drip put up. They don't even do your blood pressure on that side the whole time you're having treatment. So they treat it very respectfully. And to prevent lymphedema coming back, we're advised to keep the arm very moisturised. Even now, I still moisturise my arm a bit every second day. And also to do the physio. So the physio is little gentle exercises, say squeezing your hand and then flexing the wrist and flexing the elbow, flexing the shoulder. And it's like putting backward, you know, what would you call this, Aisling?
Backward swimming almost, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like the backstroke. Yeah, like the backstroke. And then putting your hand up along your back, the back of your hand along the back, your back, just to slide it up left towards your neck.
So you were given these for physio.
So I always do those. And I think that helped. Lymphedema and things like going on holidays, you have to be very careful of midget bites, because if you got a bite, you mightn't have any ability to remove the infection from your arm because your lymph glands are gone.
Interesting, yeah. So your lymph.
So I wanted to say that before we move on to the chemo.
Okay, so we were laughing a minute ago. My mum was like, she has little notes in front of you, because I have all the highlights here to talk about from the chemo. And we're like, would you call them highlights? But it's basically things that you really learned along the way. Like, I think going through it, and it seems, it is so daunting if someone's listened to this and this is what they're facing. So hopefully they will get some good advice today. But just to give people the timeline, so it was the end of the start of September last year that you got the hysterectomy.
Right, yeah, the 5th of September, yeah. And then I had...
Today's the 4th.
Oh, gosh. This time last year.
That's mad, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, I remember tomorrow, them one day. Yeah. Yeah, I remember them. Yeah. Yeah. So it was about a 6-week recovery from the mastectomy. And then they gave you some time, wasn't it, after that?
And during that time, I was brought into the bands. I was going privately, which I was fortunate to be able to do that. They brought me in and they talked to me at length about what was going to happen. So they told me what the side effects might be during the treatment, what the side effects might be after I go home, and then the long-term side effects. They told me exactly what was going to happen, that I would go in and I'd meet the specially trained they're called chemotherapy nurses, and they're very specially trained. Some of them are male, some of them are female, and they have maybe a half an hour chat with you before you actually have chemotherapy. This is maybe 2 weeks before, and they tell you that when you go in, you get a drip into your arm, and they'll give you some steroids first of all, and then you'll have the treatment, and you'll be in for about 3 or 4 hours approximately. And sometimes when you're having the treatment, you might have flushing of the area, or you might feel very hot or very cold. You may get a rash, you may feel sick, you may get a headache, and just to be prepared for those things. And then when you go home, the side effects to be expected are, well, everybody knows about feeling sick and feeling nauseous and not being able to eat and taste changes, and also about your hair falling out. A lot of people, your hair probably will fall out. That's what I was told. And they give you a timeline. So that usually happens the first chemotherapy session. Normally it doesn't happen that time, but between the second and third, you'd have a lot of those symptoms. The first session I had, I was fine, but then I started getting symptoms.
And you kind of thought you got away with it the first time, didn't you? You were like, I actually feel okay. Like, and even your hair was okay. And
Yeah.
So in between,
So the third thing is then when you're finished the chemotherapy, sometimes it's long-term side effects. And that might be paresthesia, you know, finger and thumbs. It might be a bit numb. Mm-hmm. Your energy may not come back completely. I'd say I'm 80% back, but I had more energy than most people, I think. So I'm probably back to normal. I'd always maybe go do something most evenings, and people say, where'd you get the energy from? So maybe I'm just normal now. I don't feel 100% as energetic as I was. Your hair sometimes doesn't grow back perfectly. It might grow back maybe in patches, my little bits still left. So some of the advice that I'm giving is to prevent those long-term side effects. Thank God I have none of those. Mm-hmm. At this stage now, anyway, I have no long-term side effects. So beforehand, I think it was important actually just to talk about getting the wig fitted.
I was just going to say that, yes, like the timeline of,
yeah,
that was kind of, you were still recovering from the mastectomy.
I was still recovering.
And it seems really early because your hair hasn't fallen out yet.
So yeah, my hair was still perfect. Yeah. Yeah. And Aisling and Sinead, my two beautiful daughters, came with me over to, I got the name of the place, Roaches in Kimmage. We couldn't remember the last podcast. And they are really nice there, and they let you look at different wigs. And they advise you to get something similar to your own so that you don't feel so different. But Aisling and Sinead sort of got me a more glamorous wig than my hair was. Or I thought it was a bit more glamorous. They encouraged me to
get it. It looked like your hair after a blow job. Like,
yeah, after
looked like,
walking to the hairdresser. Yeah. And after getting it cut, it was just perfect. Mm. So we got that one. And financially, if you have insurance, they do cover the wig, which is great. And you get other little things for nighttime, because your head is very cold once the hair goes and you need some little cap. And I was coming into the winter, so we got a couple of those as well. And you actually buy shampoo and conditioner as well, that you can wash the wig with. You don't use ordinary shampoo. I only washed it about 3 times the whole time. You don't have to wash it that often. It doesn't really get dirty. So that was a bit traumatic, us going in, wasn't it?
Yeah, it can be very overwhelming. They're so lovely in there. I think one of the women in there had actually had breast cancer, and she had it, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago. And I remember saying to her at the time, this is 12 months of your life. Like, she's like, this time next year, you'll be behind you. But it seems so far away when you're sitting there. But it's nice that she kind of can give you that hope. And I know that you were asking her loads of questions, and it was nice to kind of connect to someone who'd been through that. I'd say to anyone listening, like, bring someone with you.
Yeah.
It's really overwhelming. And even for me and Sinead, it was nice that we had each other. Like, we were kind of getting half upset when you were trying different wigs, but at least kind of we were like, okay, we have each other to, you know, like,
we did fun with it.
Yeah, it's like make the best of a bad situation, isn't it? Like we went for food afterwards and like we just kind of like tried to make the most of it. But we found then we came home. So, you know, like my mom was saying there, they give you shampoos, conditioners and different hats. And this is for this and this is for that. And this is the wig like stand you have to put it on. And, you know, there's a lot in it. And they you got home with everything, don't you, as far as I remember?
I came home and yeah, I had two different things. That yeah. I had no idea what I was to use them for.
She was like, what's this for? And it was good that me and Sinead had been there because we had heard her them say it. So it was just...
It was an under netting for the yeah. wig you put underneath.
Yeah, like it's weird trying on wigs when you still have all your hair and it's kind of, it's a bit daunting. Like so
in order for the wig to stick to your head, you have to put this netting. It's like a little thing a nun would wear, a little bit of netting under, like a hair net mm-hmm. or if you get the old fashioned hair nets. When I got home, I said, what's that for? I don't remember that at all. But so it's always important to bring somebody with you when you're going to a visit, whether it's a doctor or whether it's something like that, because you don't take everything in. I went to one visit on my own as well. My husband was busy that day, so I just got my own. And it was to do with the radiation later on. And I said, what else did he say? And months later, he was sending me for a scan when I finished the radiation. And I said, oh, do you know anything about this scan? Oh, they must think there's something wrong with me. And after a whole week, I went for the scan, but I thought it was an extra scan. He said, no, I told you that of the radiation. Sure, it's in your chart. Mm. Well, that's the day I was on my own. So always bring somebody with you.
Yeah. Last time I said about the wigs, there's different types of wigs. So you got you can get synthetic hair or you get human hair. And you got one that was 50-50. Kind of 50-50. And to be honest, it's gorgeous. Like, it's so nice because the human hair styles, but it doesn't stay styled. And then the synthetic one looks a little bit synthetic, whereas your one has human hair on it, but then it stays styled. It's like literally like the best of both. And it's gorgeous. Many people would be like, your hair's lovely, Roisin. Where'd you get it done? Yeah. She'd be like, thanks a million, like saying nothing. Maybe at mass for like a fresh new blow dry. Yeah. So you were delighted that you did have that. Like, and any tips with the wig side of things? Did you find it okay once you got the hang of? Is there any tips you'd give to anyone?
What happened to me was I wasn't expecting my hair to fall out. I was hoping it wasn't going to fall out. And then when I got to the 17 to 23 days, like they said, it probably will fall out. I got over that. And I said, oh, God, this isn't going to happen to me at all. It's all my good diet and keeping healthy and keeping slim. But alas, I woke up one Sunday morning and there was my hair on the pillow. Lumps of it, clumps of it, loads of it all across the pillow. So I just said, Peter, will you shave this off now? Shave off the rest of my hair. I just decided I was going to shave it off because I'd read that was the best thing to do. And I just put the wig on and went to mass.
Yeah. And is the wig comfortable? Like, is there any tips in terms of having it on?
Well, now my hair is growing. I have the wig on today, but my hair is growing. So it's not as comfortable as it was. Mm-hmm. And I don't wear the little netting thing underneath it. But 2 or 3 hours is fine with it on. I wear it for 2 or 3 hours and I have a break from it. So I'm out somewhere. If I'm in work, I take it off, put it back on again. That's how I manage. Mm-hmm. It's very hot. And when you're with a group, say you're at a party or something, you're much hotter than everybody else. You have a little dress on. Everybody else has trousers and jumper on, you know, and I'm there. Because it's like a big hat, woolly hat on your head.
Yeah.
And then now that I don't wear the wig all the time, I'm cold. Because I don't have as much hair as everybody else. So it's temperature. If you remember little babies in the intensive care unit, we put little bonnets on them. So it's a bit like that.
Yeah.
It's very hot.
Okay, so coming up to the chemo, you started in November, wasn't it?
Yes, 21st of November, 2022.
And talking through the type of chemo you had, so yours was you had second week. And
I had ACT. It was Adriamycin. It's also known as doxorubicin. And it's got red in it. It's a very red dye, which is a bit shocking when you see that going into your veins. I was also on cyclophosphamides. And then that was done for 4 months. And then I went on to the Taxol. So that was every 2 weeks at first, the AC. It's called ACT. It's very, very commonly used for breast cancer. So I had the AC first for the first 4 months. And then I had Taxol every week. The Taxol wasn't severe, but the AC was very, very tough on your system.
Yeah. And it'd be kind of like, if I remember, like you'd be really wiped out for the week after getting the ACT. Yeah. And then the week after you'd feel a little bit better. And then you'd be getting it again on the Monday.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first week you'd be floored. Like. Yeah.
The initial, what I did was when I was going in, I did a few things just to make sure that I wouldn't have as many side effects. You know, so I made sure I was hydrated the day before. I made sure I was eating properly. I wasn't exhausted because sometimes you still do things if you're feeling better. the week, night before, when you've been off for 2 weeks and you've been sick for most of the 2 weeks, you want to do things and see people. So I'd always have a night at home on Monday night and take it easy and try and have plenty of good food and go to bed early. So I was ready for this next onslaught the next day. I thought that's what I used to call it, the onslaught. Well, I often say to patients when I'm talking about cancer, it's like looking out at a field of flowers across the road from your house, and there's weeds and loads of flowers. And you're clearing out everything when you have chemotherapy. You kill off everything. You kill all your good cells off.
Yeah, it's poison. Like, it's that's how it works. It's killing every single cell. It can't. It doesn't know the good cells and the bad cells.
So then it's up to us to get all the good cells, all the good flowers to grow again. That's why you do all the healthy stuff.
So going in on that first day then.
Yeah, there's a few things I did, actually.
Fill us in.
I thought this is what I was, I found the nurses were very good, the chat I had with the nurses in advance, but they didn't tell me how long I would be in there. I thought it was a bit longer. So I brought in a little travel bag, and I had my laptop, and I had a good book, and I had water and food and my phone. And
packed
lunch. They said, "Where are you going? Where are you going with the bag?" And I said, "Well, isn't this for a good part of the day?" "Oh no, she'll be out here in 3 hours." So I did. That was the first thing I didn't know. So sometimes it may be longer, but be prepared to bring your things in with you if you feel you don't want to be chatting to everybody in the next bed. That's going to exhaust you. I did that one day, and the girl started telling me about her secondary cancer, and she started off such and such, and I was feeling so sad for her. And then I said, "God, I hope that doesn't happen to me." So maybe keep private at first. I just didn't talk to too many people at first because I felt just very vulnerable when you're going in initially, you know, then hearing everybody else's sad story. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can do without that at first. And I felt going in that first day, I made sure that I was warm because it was winter time. And I knew from working in Temple Street that you always had the children's arms warm when you were taking blood. And I'd wear a big fur coat with the fur on the sleeves and fur on the bottom. So when in there was nice and warm. So I'd leave my coat on to the very last minute. And then when you go in, you get your bloods taken immediately. And then you wait to get the bloods back. So as you have the chemotherapy, you can't have the next dose unless your white cell counts are normal, unless your red cell count is normal, your hemoglobin and your platelets are normal. So they look at your bloods every time you go in. So you have to wait for the bloods before they give you the treatment.
And just so people are aware as well, you were obviously lucky enough to go private for this.
I was.
And you've had some experience through friends going public, and they're the ones that might be waiting a little bit longer. And
we
just wanted to say that to people, just so people are aware what they're going in for. Because the thing about it in public hospitals, you have to wait for those bloods to come back. That could be a couple of hours, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think that's what you were expecting when you went in with your suitcase.
I had been there with my friend, you know, last year. I'd gone to chemo with her just one occasion, and I just felt it was a longer wait. It seemed like all day. But I suppose there's good days and bad days in hospitals, but they have a machine now in the private. Some of the private hospitals have a machine that do the bloods. So you're not waiting quite as long. But it is nerve wracking when you see the bag of fluid going into your arm and it's bright red and it's going into your body. And you say, what's this going to do to me? And my advice would be keep drinking lots of water when you're having it and keep going to the bathroom, and you'll see the red urine going into the loo. Bright red urine. It's a bit scary. But that's the drugs going through. They're doing you good. They're getting rid of all the cancerous cells.
And then you're flushing out as
flush
as
out,
can.
Yeah. I drank two
Would you
liters.
Be hungry? Did you ever eat during the chemo? Like, if you're sitting there all afternoon, did you ever bring in lunch or bring in food? Or
my
would you
chemo,
be feeling sick?
My chemo was at 2, and my routine was, because this worked for me, I'd get up and I'd go to mass and go for a walk, come back and have my lunch, and then I'd go in there for 2. And then in the hospital, they always give you tea and a sandwich anyway. To give you the snack, and it breaks up some of the time. And I always try to have something that I was into reading, you know, like a really good book that you're not starting the first page. So the first session, make sure that you're reading something that you can lose yourself in, you know, that you can just be distracted by it. If you spend the whole time just watching the nurses and doctors going around, it just makes you more anxious. Try and be, you know, even if it's on your phone, something that you're watching on your phone, or I think reading was very good.
You're right back to all your WhatsApps. Like, you would do that. And yours normally took about, what, like 2.5, 3 hours?
2.5, 3 hours,
yeah. Yeah. How did you feel then coming home in the evenings?
Very shaky, very shook. Like, you'd had a really bad shock. And it'd be like I was shaky sort of going up the stairs. I need a hand to get to bed. I always tried to have dinner. I'd had that bit of a routine. I'd be home by 5:30 or 6. My husband was absolutely fantastic, Peter. He'd have dinner ready every night at 6.
With like so 10 vegetables. He just was amazing. Yeah, he just like, so good at feeding you.
And we'd sit and watch ten. And even though I was very sick when I was on the chemo, I think it was a lot of nausea and my taste changed. Everything tasted really salty. He made lasagna once and I said, Peter, what happened when you were doing the lasagna? Ashing and her husband were there and I said, oh God, it was terrible. What did you do with salt? He said, there's no extra salt in that. It was awful. I couldn't eat it.
You couldn't drink water for a while. Do you remember the
it
salt?
Was, everything tasted salty. Yeah. So that's how it worked for me, but somebody else might crave something else. But the dinner was the big highlight of the day, trying to get dinner into me.
Yeah. You always, even my mom now, like if I'm like, oh, I'm going to blah, blah after work. She's like, what are you going to do for dinner though? Like my mom does have this insane thing of like dinner is literally the most important. And you've actually put that on me. If I come home, my husband hasn't made dinner. Now his like language of love, he'd like clean the house from top to bottom, right?
Language of love.
But I come in at 7:30 after a day's work and I'm like, where's the dinner? And he's like, but I mopped the floors. And I'm like, yeah, but dinner, like where he didn't really like, he doesn't see dinner as a big thing. So it's funny that that was dad like being like,
I think
dinner.
I told Pete at the very beginning about the cruciferous vegetables. I told him that at the very beginning, the cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli.
Kale.
And I told him that at the very beginning. And I think I got those for the whole 6 months of chemo on the plate every night. That they're very anti-carcinogenic.
Yeah. So those 8 weeks were tough and we had Christmas in between that, I remember. And you did amazing. I have to say, like my mom, we were still
Christmas
looking
was
after us, like, you know, looking after the grandkids. You really.
We were at a party this Saturday night and my brother said to me, he said, you know, none of your kids came over on Christmas morning. Just nice to see them all here tonight. And the reason that we went over there on Christmas morning, they brought home and me. I'm so sick. None of them went to the Christmas party. And I didn't even notice that you didn't go. I was just lying on the couch and surrounded by love. This year would be different, Aisling.
Oh, God, we're crying again. Yeah.
I just have some
you do see how important family
love,
is, though.
The love of people.
Yeah.
And anybody listening that is going through cancer, there's those key people in your life. And it's hard to lean on people when you haven't been used to doing that. There's always surprises. My daughter Sinead brought in a bag of stuff for me when I was going into hospital. She brought me an extension lead with a phone charger on it. And I used that hundreds of times because you could plug in your phone and you didn't have to be near the plug. You could just put it under the bed and way over there to the wall. It's the best present.
What else? Sinead looked up like the most important things for
chemo. She bought me beautiful, lip, aloe lip, which your lips get very dry. And I use that all the time as well. You have to keep your lips moist. She brought me up a lot of things like lozenges for your throat.
Yeah.
But they were good as well. She lots of thoughtful things.
Yeah. So I think for anyone, those, if you're getting the ACT, what's it called? Those 8 weeks are going to be tough, definitely.
And then when you're, they look at your bloods and if it's likely that your white cell count is going to go down, they give you a drug called Neulasta and a nurse comes out to your house and teaches you how to use that. It's a subcutaneous injection into your tummy and you give yourself that within 24 to 48 hours after having the chemo and it gives you a white cell count boost and I had that.
Yeah, so this is really interesting. I remember someone asking me, can I drop your mum in flowers? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And you're like, oh, I just wasn't sure with chemo, you have to be careful of, you know, in case they get, they're at high risk of viruses and infections. But I think that now is different because you got that injection that you weren't really at risk of getting sick, where normally that would be a huge risk, isn't it? Like,
yes, I have a friend who's in the church and she was surprised to see me coming to Mass every day. And she says, you know, I had cancer a few years ago and I didn't go anywhere for the 6 months. I said, no, I wasn't told that. So I was supported by the Neulasta. It was great.
Did you get
that
once?
I got it 4 times.
Okay.
Gave it to myself 4 times. They kept watching my bloods then. My bloods were okay. The only side effect I got then later on was the Taxol seemed to affect my walking, my hips. And I started limping on my right side and I had an x-ray done and there was nothing showed up. So it was just a side effect and unusual. Taxol isn't as severe and it's not as long. The infusion doesn't take quite as long. You're not as sick, but you don't know what other symptom. You might get something different and I got that. Limping after about 4 or 5 Taxols, I was having Taxol every week. So after the 5th, when he said, I was just very upset that I couldn't walk. It's amazing your mood when you don't get exercise. That was the first time my mood went down. I had 1 or 2 weeks that I wasn't able to walk. And he said, you want a break from the actual Taxol? And I said, I'd love a break. And then by the end of that, that would have been a 2 week break. break because it was every week the Taxol. By the end of that 2 weeks, the pain was gone on my hip. So I knew then when I had the other three Taxols, I'd be okay. I was back on form, even though it was still a little bit sore, and it cleared up completely.
So that was January. So basically the Taxol was definitely less. You weren't sick really with that.
I was able to eat.
Or more so, I think that you were like, because you felt so much better, you're like, I feel great now. And we're like, man, we're still getting chemo. Like, you'd be doing way too much on that and you'd be absolutely wrecked by the end of the week. And I think because you weren't in bed with that one, you kind of overdid it, I would say, sometimes. But
yeah.
I think you have to let the person who's going through this, you can't baby them either. I think that's something we learned along the way, that like, this is also your life and you want to keep it as normal as possible. And like, coming in like, mam, no, we'll make the tea and we'll do this. And you love looking after people. You love us coming in for dinner, or like, we're like, no, we won't come over, like, you know, on Sundays and things like that. But you love the family coming over and playing with the grandkids, and they, you know, dad would be going mad being like, she's so tired at the end of the day, but you enjoy that day. Yeah. So I think you have to
balance it. Yeah, like what you can do.
Don't baby your family member don't treat them like a sick person. They're going through treatment, but they're not sick. Like, you know, I think that you have to look at it that way. Like, it's the chemo making them sick.
The chemo also, you lose all your body hair. Like, I knew every said about your hair falling, but I didn't realise that in your nasal, your little nasal hairs there, and your nose would be continually blocked. And they said to me,
interesting,
you know, when you're breathing, your nose gets real crusty inside. I've never had chest infections or cold or throat or anything like that. And then I asked them one day in the bands, and they said, oh yeah, that's normal enough. That's normal, because you have no cilia. The little hairs in your nose, you haven't got cilia. You wouldn't think of that, would you?
I never knew that. I didn't even know that until now.
And your legs, no hair in your legs, under your arms. Like, it's really, you feel a bit strange without any body hair, you know?
And my mum had got fibros. So coming up to our wedding, when was that? It was actually 2020, because we were meant to get married in 2020, and then obviously COVID happened. But me and my sister were like, mum, we should definitely get... My mum used to draw her brows on with a stencil. So me and Sinead were like, get the tattoo brows. And like, the whole way through chemo, she's like, it's the best thing I did. Yeah. Because you look like, she just put on her wig and she has her eyebrows. So you look... You look normal.
Makeup, yeah,
exactly.
Where
people lose their, so potentially.
And people would say to me, that was a great idea getting your eyebrows done. And I wasn't sure what they were talking about at first. And then I realized, oh yeah, it's because I have these. Everybody doesn't have these, because they would have fallen out. So mine didn't fall out.
Yeah. And they look correct. They still look good now. So that was coming into January. You obviously got the Taxol. The hip pain, if I remember back, that was really the main symptom that you had. But my memory, you going in and they'd ask you, do you have this, the list of symptoms? So what kind of side effects are they looking out for?
They'd say, have you been vomiting? No. Have you rashes on your body? No. Is your urinary frequency? No. Is there diarrhea, constipation? No. So they go down through everything like that. Have you mouth ulcers? No. I mean, I don't know how I didn't get mouth ulcers. They really were expecting me to get mouth ulcers, so I didn't get mouth ulcers. I don't know why. Mouth ulcers will be very common as well. And then the nausea, I had dreadful. It was absolutely dreadful. I took Maxilon, and for the first 4 nights, they give you a sleeping tablet. So I took that as well. And then when you stop taking the sleeping tablet, that's when I found my sleep was very bad. For the 3 nights after taking the tablet for 4 nights, so you nearly have to say, is it worthwhile taking the sleeping tablet? But when you get steroids in the drip, when you have the chemotherapy, it makes you very wired. So you mightn't be able to sleep. The steroid wakes you up. So it's balancing everything really, isn't it? But you can always ring the hospital and ask them. They're very helpful. If you had a question. And I didn't have any of those numbness and tingling in toes and fingers, because if you have that, sometimes they adjust your treatment, you know, because the chemo is damaging cells and it can damage the nerves, because the nerves don't really come back once they're damaged. So I didn't have headaches. I didn't have any of those symptoms that they asked me. The only thing I had was extremely bad nausea. You know, I had hyperemesis gravidarum during the pregnancies, so I wasn't surprised that was the thing I got, you know.
And it was almost like PTSD, like...
Oh, I couldn't... Yeah. I was sick. I was feeling sick all day, really.
Nothing worse.
Yeah, but I got through it. The Maxilon, I took the Maxilon. They say take it before you feel sick, but I was feeling sick all the time. So they tried me on Zofran, and that didn't suit me at all. That's what I was on over Christmas. I was very sick. Zofran is a commonly used one as well. And the Maxilon was the best one for me, 10 milligrams of Maxilon.
Yeah. Okay, so that was then going to the Taxol. I was going to ask them, they're completely gone out of my head.
When you're actually in the hospital, I think it's important to bring in enough water with you. You know, some people, they might have a little bottle of water, but you have to keep drinking the water. That was the advice I got from the nurse, the friend who's a nurse.
Can you use the bathroom when you're sitting there?
Yeah, you can. You mean the drip over with you.
Oh, you can walk around with
it. Yeah, you have a drip stand.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if you feel any stinging or tingling in your arm, the drip can tissue. And I saw somebody and they didn't say it to the nurse, but I knew what that meant. So I was like, that's gone out of the vein. You know, so if you're having chemo and you feel that it's not feeling very right around in your arm, just call the nurse.
And I was going to say too, there was one time that your iron went really, really low. And there was one time your white blood cells went low, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But that was around, so we had 16 rounds of the Taxol. So that wasn't 16?
I had it for eight weeks as well. It was every week though.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. How many weeks is that?
Yeah, it was 8 weeks. 8 weeks for the Taxol and 4 months for the...
So only eight rounds?
Yeah. Of Taxol.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking, yeah, of Taxol. Yeah.
So and then there was AC in it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of towards the end though, wasn't it? Yeah. I was going to say, you started eating meat again when you had the chemo.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'm fortunate that three of my children are big into nutrition, and Sinead's into nutrition as well. But I think I was doing the plant-based diet and I felt very well on it, but I think I kind of ran out of steam along with the chemo. And then when my iron went down to, my hemoglobin went down to, I think it was 8. And
like normal, like when I see clients, I'd want it up around 12.
Yeah, it was 8 point, I think it was 8.9. And they said, no, you're fine. Once it goes, if it goes under 8, we'll give you a transfusion. It was so matter of fact.
Mm.
And Damien said, that's ridiculous. Just have meat, Mum. Just go back and meet her. And so he made me a nice meat, steak and onion dinner, I remember that night. And it was very nice. But I wouldn't be huge on meat now. I do have meat about twice a week.
But you're buying good quality, like Irish. Like our meat in Ireland, sometimes I think, you know, especially us, my generation growing up, but like Netflix and shows, we watch documentaries on animal protein and meat, and they're all made in America. Like, you know, there's one called Fork Over Knives. My clients ask me about every single week about meat, and I'm like, that's made in America, which has hormones and antibiotics in their meat. We've very good meat in Ireland. Like our beef here is grass-fed beef. We actually have some of the best beef in the world. So I think it's important where you source it. Like your B12, your iron, yes, you can get iron from plant-based proteins, but it's very, very difficult. And also when you're going through something like chemo and strong treatment, your gut health is not going to be, it's going to be absolutely on the floor from getting all those treatments. So even your absorption of nutrients is a lot lower. So it's obviously up to the individual, but I think you really turned a corner, I think, when you started eating meat even twice a week. Like you had so much more energy, if not that steak.
I wasn't as sick.
Yeah, you needed that extra energy, I think.
Yeah, the extra boost, definitely. Yeah. I was better after that.
So I think if you're following, like, don't put yourself in a little pigeonhole in terms of this is the diet I'm on. I think you should go by what you think your body
tells you. Intuitively, I think you know what you need.
Yeah, which is important.
Yeah. And then the routine, I thought just for people, that was what to do before you go in for chemo and then during the chemo, what to actually do when you're in the bed. You'll keep yourself occupied. Good book or whatever. And then when you come home, try and establish a routine in the day, because I'm used to going to work every day. I'm used to minding my grandchildren twice a week. You know, this was all, I wasn't able to do that because I was weak and I was tired. So I tried to establish a routine. So I had visitors in the afternoon, then I had dinner at 6 and I had the morning routine. As I said, you know, go to mass and go for a walk. Even if I was very, very weak, I still got mass online. I didn't go out for a few weeks. And then when I go for a walk, it might be only 20 minutes up the road, but at least I was out in the air. I was meeting the odd person. So kind of take a rest.
And get dressed is important some of the days. Yeah.
And sometimes mind over matter. You just want to huddle away there. And it's very easy just to eat tea and toast. And, you know, people will bring you cream cakes. I don't know why they bring you cream cakes. I had so many cream cakes when I was sick.
Did you actually?
Yeah, people bring me cream cakes.
Like you wouldn't eat cream cakes in your normal life.
Several people brought me cream cakes. It's just, this is a treat. And But don't let yourself be lulled into, I have to be nice to myself now. I think it's the opposite. You have to be firm with yourself, to be healthy, to get over this.
Grow back.
To get this. You have to say, I'd love a little third of that now. Thanks a million. You know, and share it up. And you can still really enjoy it, but not feel sorry for yourself and give yourself, I'll have another glass of wine now tonight because I'm not feeling well. It's the opposite. Because you're not feeling well, you can't afford to be drinking wine.
It's like you're in a battle. So the chemo is winning. And you have to put things in your corner to help fight the infection. And even if it's not going to make you feel better that day, it will stand to you in 6 months' time. Like, you know, all those little things will help you with your recovery, which we'll have to talk about. Is there anything in terms of gifts or things people do? Because obviously it's really hard when people are sick and they want to bring you things. And is there anything that you got that you actually really liked?
Damien and Kieran brought me, because Peter wasn't so big into, you know, cooking queer food.
My dad is great, like it's Irish, wonderful. Irish daddy or Irish
meat veg plate or chicken veg plate or fish veg plate. So Damien and Kieran sent me this these meals. So it was about 15 meals.
It was Eto brands.
And they arrived in a box and put them in the freezer. So they could just defrost that and then just put in the pot those homemade soups in them as well. They were very handy.
Okay,
they were
that's very a good handy. One for people.
People brought me things to help me to sleep. They knew I wasn't sleeping. Little bottles of lavender is very thoughtful. Lavender spray. I like the creams, you know, the hand creams, because your hands get very dry. Little natural hand creams were a nice present as well.
So we got, remember someone sent me, is a brand called Ground Wellbeing. I'll actually link them below if I remember to do that. They had sent me a package of products and I've never seen anything like it before. So they actually have like, it's an organic brand. Everything is really natural in it, but they have a range for people going through chemotherapy. So they had like a scalp rub and they had stuff like that, hand and foot cream, and they had, what else is in that, body oil and with like
a
nice
foot balm.
Yeah, like aromatherapy oils in it, and they're all safe for during cancer treatment. Yeah. So I thought that was just
yeah,
such
used
a
all
nice,
of them.
Yeah,
used
really
all of
nice
those.
Thing to get someone like
they were
when,
lovely.
And they're real luxurious, like it's a really lovely packaging, like it's something nice, real form of like nice self care. Yeah. So that was a lovely gift to get someone.
I got flowers. I got 120 mask cards.
I'm gonna look like a funeral. I'm going and I was like, "Does someone die?" The house literally looked like a funeral home. I was like, "What the hell?" There was not. They think there was like flowers and like pints of water. There wasn't enough vases in the house. The front room. And Dad is like, "I know." Dad's there watching TV and basically a florist. Like, but it is nice though. People are just like
people are so kind.
Yeah, it might be nice actually. Think about it now to get someone for something. Months later, like imagine you got something like, you know, a meal voucher or a concert or I don't know, a voucher for a hotel or so I made that's maybe expensive for people, but just something for 6 months. Or, you know, you could book your friend, you know, if someone said to you right in at Christmas time in September, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to probably be nice.
The other thing I meant to say there, Aisling, was remember saying to you, be nice to yourself. And I remember my friend Noreen used to spend an awful lot of time on the phone. And I think being on technology for too long isn't good for you when you're sick. So you could talk to your friend for half an hour. I used to talk to Nora for half an hour while I said I was tidying up the kitchen in the morning. And then she'd ring her next friend. Then she'd ring her next friend. She was on the phone all the time. You know what I mean? I don't think it's good to be on technology all the time. I think it's better, not as healthy to just have a bit of quiet time. Mm. You know, than rather being on the phone the whole time.
Yeah. So that was your tips for afterwards and establish your routine.
Yeah.
Eat when you can eat. You didn't really lose weight either, which was interesting. I feel like you kind of made up for not eating the first week, the second week.
Yeah.
And then your appetite was much better during the Taxol. You kind of made yourself get the good food in, didn't you?
I tried to get the good food in, made soups as well. Soups and dinner, really. Bowl of porridge in the morning and flaxseed and a boiled egg.
Yeah. So you didn't really, because you'd often hear people lose a lot of weight when they're getting treatment.
I kept my weight up, same weight. I think the nutrition was important and then keeping hydrated, because when you're going in there, it's very easy to become dehydrated.
Yeah.
And then I didn't like to drink water. Everything tasted salty, as you said. Taste was gone completely for about 4 months. Couldn't taste anything. It's hard to eat when you're not no taste of food and there's no smell. Your smell goes as well. Don't be surprised if your smell goes.
Yeah. So it's real mind over matter. It's the whole thing of fighting the battle. Just get it into you.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything else you want to cover? Anything else in your notes?
There's times that you feel so low. I mean, I had this line, "Out of the depths I cried to you, oh Lord." I never knew what that meant before. But when you're that flat, you just want to rise above it. Or you say, Aisling, you want to come out of the darkness. And I think realise that there's an end to it. You know, I didn't realise that when I was going through it. I said in the last podcast as well, that this is going to pass.
Yeah.
This will pass. So I feel at this stage now the year is over. Tomorrow's an anniversary.
Mad. Yeah.
So we're here doing the podcast.
Yeah. I remember that Monday. It was the first Monday in the clinic on my own. I come home from holidays with Hannah. Like, I talk about it thrown into reality. And I literally just was like, oh my God, what are we doing? But it is mad. Like, time will pass. And
yeah. I've learned a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. That was our episode 2. I hope everybody enjoyed it. You got something.
Thank God
it.
We live in this part of the world. You know, that we're not living somewhere that has no chemotherapy and no radiation, that really does support you know, cancer treatments. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the staff were absolutely brilliant.
You were in?
I was in the bonds.
Yeah.
They're all very well trained. They'd help you too. You know, keep in touch with your nursing staff.
Yeah, and they're
buy them little presents.
Yeah.
As much as you can do. I think that's good.
Yeah. Well, you being a nurse,
it's a difficult job. It's a difficult job they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for coming in, second episode. And I hope everybody enjoyed it. And we'll have probably one more. I think we're going to talk about the radiation.
And recovery.
And recovery. Yeah. In the next episode. Okay, guys. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.